I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for True Crime News. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From KNX News 97.1 FM.
This is Countdown 2025.
Here are Charles Feldman and Margaret Carrero.
Well, 31 days to go before Donald Trump moves back into the White House, and there is a lot happening in Washington, D.C. right now. Thanks for counting down with us on today's Countdown 2025. Some Democrats fear Republicans want a constitutional convention and could rewrite the language protecting basic rights that's been on the books since 1787. Are they right to be concerned? We will talk with two experts on the Constitution. But first this.
All the talk right now is of a federal government shutdown set to start in less than, 6 hours, unless there is at least, a last-minute deal on funding. Republican House Speaker Mike Johnson is putting forward a new series of spending bills for a vote that leave out the Trump demand for an increase in the debt limit. Debate is already underway on the House floor. Speaker Johnson says he is confident a shutdown can be avoided.
We have a unified Republican conference. There is a unanimous agreement in the room that we need to move forward. I will not telegraph to you the specific details of that yet, but I expect that we will be proceeding forward. We will not have a government shutdown, and we will meet our obligations.
The White House says there will be only one side to blame if there is a shutdown.
Republicans blew up this deal. They did, and they need to fix this, period. They have to. Republican needs to stop playing politics with a government shutdown. And they are doing the bidding. They're doing the bidding of their billionaire friends.
That is White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre.
Elon Musk, who many think triggered this whole shutdown drama, is voicing his support for a far-right political party in Germany. He says on his own social media platform, X, that only the Alternative for Germany, that's the name of the party, can save the country. German intelligence classifies that party as a suspected extremist organization, and Musk's intervention comes as the nation prepares for elections in February after the German chancellor lost a vote of confidence on Monday.
President Biden announced plans for a final round of student debt forgiveness. He's canceling more than $4 billion in debt for 55,000 public service workers. It means Biden will leave the White House having forgiven $180 billion in student loans for 5 million borrowers. But that falls well short of the original plan to cancel debt for around 43 million people. That plan was strongly opposed by Republicans, and it ran into deep legal trouble.
There has been only one constitutional convention in this country's history, the one in 1787 in Philadelphia, when the founding fathers wrote and agreed on the document that remains in force to this day with amendments. But a number of Democrats think Republicans could force a new convention to rewrite key provisions of the Constitution by getting two-thirds of states to convene such a meeting. One California Democratic lawmaker has even introduced a bill to withdraw the state's seven separate pending requests for a convention. Ilya Shapiro is a constitutional scholar at the Conservative Manhattan Institute and a former executive director of the Georgetown Center for the Constitution. And Richard Albert is a professor of government at the University of Texas and its director of constitutional studies. Both of you, thanks for being with us.
Great to be with you.
Thanks for having me.
Ilya, let me start with you. Before we get into whether or not this could actually happen, another constitutional convention, let me ask the question whether it would be a good or a bad thing. As both of you know, there was considerable discussion among the founding fathers about the wisdom of having further constitutional conventions. Thomas Jefferson was for that. James Madison, Alexander Hamilton were against it. What would be so bad about having one, Ilya?
Well, nothing in the abstract. We've had 27 amendments. Perhaps we should have had more. There's a strong argument that a lot of the changes in the New Deal in terms of giving the federal government more power were effectively constitutional amendments that the Supreme Court let go as normal legislation. The danger is that truly crazy stuff would go through and have some runaway convention to fundamentally change the country, or as happened in the one and only one, we would scrap the Constitution and adopt some other system of government. I'm not so concerned about that because anything would have to be ratified by three quarters of the state. But that is what people are generally afraid of.
And Richard, what do you think?
Well, there is a concern, which is that if a convention is held and amendments are proposed to the country, the delegates at the convention can themselves choose to do what the founders chose to do, which was to not just scrap the Articles of Confederation, but to propose an altogether new rule of ratification. So it might not be three quarters of the states that we need. It might be two thirds, might be 51%, whatever they say would go.
So, Ilya, let me just ask you this, though. What do you see as the likelihood of actually having another constitutional convention convened?
Very low. I don't think you can simply just count up all of the states that have historically called for conventions on any subject, because most of the calls have not been just open-ended. They've been for a balanced budget amendment, for example. That's the most common one. But lots of other things, as was mentioned in the introduction, California has 7 outstanding calls for different topics. You can't just count up all the calls together. They have to be on the same subject. So it hasn't happened yet. It's probably not likely to happen. Historically, the reason we've generally not had a convention is because when there's been enough political momentum towards calling for a convention, Congress has gotten ahead of that, taking control of the process, because, of course, the way we've gotten all of our amendments is for Congress to propose something and then send it out to states for ratification.
But, Richard, let me bounce off you what Ilya just said. Is that actually established law that the different calls for a constitutional convention by various states over various periods of time have to be on the same topic? Or is that something that could wind its way, that question, all the way up to a very conservative Supreme Court, and who knows what it would decide?
You know, we really don't know what the answer is. The founders did not leave us a roadmap for calling a convention. The specificities that we'd have to answer, you know, who are the delegates going to be? How are they going to be chosen? What are the rules of procedure? And so I agree with Ilya Shapiro, actually, on the point that you can't just count up all of the different calls and petitions that have been made by the various states in American history for a convention. They have to be petitions that are specific, perhaps even worded similarly, precisely the same, in order for them to be valid. Now, you asked a question about whether this could make its way up to the Supreme Court of the United States. My view is no. This, I think, raises what the court has defined as a political question, meaning a subject that is not for judicial resolution, but rather for political actors themselves to resolve on their own.
We are speaking with Ilya Shapiro, a constitutional scholar at the Conservative Manhattan Institute, and Richard Albert, a professor of government at the University of Texas. So let's speak perhaps in just theoretical terms, and I'll take it back to Ilya. Let's just say that a constitutional convention was convened. Any amendments would need to be ratified by the legislatures of 3/4 of the states, which is at this point 38. Given how polarized this country is politically, do you really think that would even happen?
No. I mean, it's hard to see anything that other than some sort of milquetoast amendment or something that is completely ideologically neutral, like permanent daylight savings time or something like that. Short of that, nothing that has any ideological salience, I can't imagine, would be approved. And that's also why I'm not as concerned about a runaway convention. You know, we instantiate fascism or socialism or something. I just can't see 38 states, red and blue, a supermajority, agreeing on something completely crazy.
And yet, Richard, some Democrats, some notable Democrats, have expressed actual worry, concern that this scenario could actually occur. Is their concern then ill-founded, or is there some possibility that at the end of the day, in this very extraordinary times that we are all living in, it could happen?
I think it could happen. I, in fact, would like it to happen. But here's why I think it could happen.
Oh, wait. Once you said that, I'm now intrigued. Why would you like it to happen?
Well, the United States has not had a convention since the founding of the country, well over 230 years ago. But that's at the national level. At the state level, we've had about 230 conventions. And so there's a great rich history of constitutional conventions in this country, just not at the national level. And so it's time for the national level to learn from the state level.
Would the American people have any kind of a say in this, Ilya?
Well, they would have a say in terms of their elected representatives. I mean, they put pressure on their elected officials, who are, after all, up for re-election every 2 to 4 years at the state level. The political pressure has an impact. It's not all about direct referendum or anything like this. For that matter, depending on how the delegate selection worked, and Richard is right, that's not specified in the Constitution. You could have directly elected delegates. You could have different interest groups lobbying for all sorts of different rules. This would definitely be a collaborative process, probably more open and more subject to these kinds of pressures than the normal day-to-day operations of Congress.
It's Countdown 2025
on KNX News 97.1 FM. This is Countdown 2025
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
Welcome back to the show. Along with Charles Feldman, I'm Margaret Carrero. We are talking about the Constitution and whether there might be a move to hold a new constitutional convention to update and rewrite it that would need the agreement of two-thirds of the states.
Still with us is Ilya Shapiro, constitutional expert and fellow at the Conservative Manhattan Institute, and Richard Albert, director of constitutional studies at the University of Texas. So let's now, gentlemen, let's enter into the theater of the imagination. Since we don't have any video or audio recordings of the Constitutional Convention, the last and only one we've had, how would it actually go down? Now, the one we had, of course, was in Philadelphia. I'm not even sure how they would agree nowadays on where to have it. But let's say they decide on a city somewhere in America. What would actually go on? Richard?
Well, the first thing they'd have to do is to elect a president, a presiding officer, someone who could bring structure and order to what would otherwise be a chaotic exercise. Of course, at the founding, there was a great presiding officer, Washington. Is there a Washingtonian figure today who could command the respect of persons across the aisle? I'm not sure, but that's the first thing they'd have to do.
Elon Musk, perhaps?
Maybe. I asked this question to my students. I teach a course every year called Amending the U.S. Constitution. I asked my students, who would be the presiding officer? I got a number of very funny responses. Here are three. LeBron James.
Okay.
Taylor Swift.
Uh-huh. Taylor Swift.
Yeah. Taylor Swift. And the person you mentioned, Elon Musk.
And Musk is there. I could see Taylor Swift being, along with George Washington, as being on the same level.
Sure, yeah. Why not?
Okay, go ahead. So, all right, so they have some, let's say it's Taylor Swift, or she's elected as president of this new constitutional convention. So then what happens?
Well, then they need to figure out what the rules of the game are going to be. The first thing is you pick a presiding officer, and then that presiding officer helps to lead a conversation about the rules of order. So, for example, how are they going to vote when a proposal is made? How do you make a proposal? Do you need a certain threshold of approval in order for a proposal to be even discussed and then voted on? And so it's really going to be, when it happens, I hope it happens, a laborious, onerous process, but one that would ultimately lead, I think, to a good outcome. Because once you have good rules in place, then the good content follows.
So let's talk a little bit about potential content. Ilya, let's bring you into this conversation. If you had an option to put something on the table, what would it be?
Yeah, well, it's funny you ask, because I was part of a project through the National Constitution Center, wonderful museum in Philadelphia. Not just a museum, but they have all sorts of activities for kids, for adults. Anyway, go on their website, check out lots of different things that they have. But they had a thing called the Constitution Drafting Project, and they convened three teams of libertarians. I was the captain of Team Libertarian. They had the Team Progressive and Team Conservative. And first, each team came up with their new amendments or new constitution, if they wished. My team joked that all we needed to do was add a constitutional amendment saying we mean it to all the existing provisions, and that would fix what ails the body politic. you could look at those. But what's more realistic is they then had representatives of each team get together at such a putative amendment convention and see what we could agree on. And it turned out that what we could agree on, there are two significant ones: Supreme Court term limits. I think the devil is in the details there, transition issues and what have you. But anyway, that's a big one. And also allowing for congressional vetoes of executive and regulatory actions, because the feeling was, whether you're on the left or the right, the executive branch has become too powerful. And then there are kind of three somewhat smaller tweaks. For example, eliminating the natural-born citizen requirement for the presidency, making it somewhat easier to amend the Constitution, lower thresholds, and clarifying the impeachment standard, because every time impeachment is in the news a lot in the last couple of decades, nobody really knows what it means. But that's what we kind of, we ran this experiment, and that's what we came up with.
Richard, of course, during the Constitutional Convention in the 1700s, they didn't have either the benefit or the curse of social media. How might that impact a constitutional convention now?
This is perhaps one of the rules that they would come up with. One of the rules might be, leave your phones at the door. The discussions are going to be internal. They're going to be private until we're ready to share proposals with the larger community. Now, that's one way they could go. Another way they can go is just to allow free rein to anyone who wants to come and watch, wants to come and share views. They might even have rules for special interest groups that can appear before the committee and the convention as witnesses. And so really, one of the things that I regret about the Constitution is that it doesn't have a roadmap for how this can happen. And the reason why I regret that is that what it means is that the golden rule will apply. Not do unto others, but rather he who has the gold makes the rules. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to go into a convention to make a new constitution with power being at the center of it all. You want good outcomes to be what we all want in the end. But that's not what the framers bequeathed to this generation.
Hold that thought. We will have some final thoughts next.
This is Countdown 2025
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
Welcome back to the Friday edition of Countdown 2025. Along with Margaret Carrero, I'm Charles Feldman.
Remaining with us to finish out the show, constitutional experts Ilya Shapiro of the Manhattan Institute and Richard Alpert of the University of Texas.
So let's end this particular program with both of you gentlemen giving us a sort of a brief synopsis of where you think this whole discussion or this whole debate really is going. Why don't we start with you, Ilya, and then Richard. Ilya?
Well, I think this concern, I think you have us on because of a New York Times article, I think it's overblown. People are in very blue areas are getting in a bit of a frenzied echo chamber about the return of Donald Trump to the White House. You know, the handmaid's costumes and all of this, that's not realistic. But I think what we really want is a greater, more sober discussion of, you know, what is wrong with the country, and is it a constitutional wrong or is it something else? And so, you know, there could be little tweaks, little fixes. You know, the balanced budget amendment, because of our debt problem and you know, the fiscal cliffs that we keep going in and all of these sorts of things, has garnered the most calls for a convention. You could even write a convention call so discreetly as to include all of the rules and who gets elected and how the delegates vote and all of that, Richard was talking about. So, you know, it's a possibility, but it's an important part of the civic discourse.
Yeah, we are running out of time, gentlemen, but we really do appreciate this open air discussion of this. Richard Albert of the University of Texas and Ilya Shapiro of the Manhattan Institute. You guys have a wonderful holiday and a very happy new year, okay?
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you both.
Now, this is our last show for the year. Many of you who have been following the show, you've been following the countdown with us, 31 days as of today until Inauguration Day. While we won't be back on this program until the 6th of January, feel free to keep counting.
Oh, yeah.
So today is 31, tomorrow is 30, and so on.
Are you
going to
make them do math over the holidays?
Yeah,
Why would you do that?
Well,
no.
Because when we come back, Margaret, on
so
the
6th. So they'll know exactly where we are.
And then we'll all see if we have the same, if we agree on the same number.
I think we'll be okay. Listen, have yourself a happy holiday, no matter where you're going to be, and certainly a wonderful new year. And if you miss a show, catch up on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Just be sure to search for us and follow the show.